Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is
Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast number 433. We are the Fight Disciples, and this is dedicated to the world of boxing. If it's the first time you've ever come across us, you can get us on iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for. And you can also get us on our website, fightdisciples.com. On there, you've got all the little feeds to our social media links, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can also get on our YouTube channel. You can also get to our shop as well, where you can buy beer. That's right. We have got proper tackle knocking about right now, and you can buy it in all different crate sizes. I advise the 24-pack, of course. So get yourself in there, get yourself on our website, fightdisciples.com. All the information is there for you. And of course, you can get access to all our podcasts, which is great. A bit unusual this week, because I know if you are a first-time listener, you've tuned in and you've gone, Fight Disciples, these lads will talk about boxing and UFC, because they do a UFC show as well. Just hold your horses for a second. Because sports has been fantastic this weekend. Absolutely fantastic. And yes, we will get to Zepeda and Baranchuk in a moment. Because imagine my Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, right? Imagine this. You get up, and I didn't stay up for Baranchuk Zepeda. I'll be honest with you. I watched it lunchtime on Sunday. So I'm having a little bit of a flick through, and I think, that was unbelievable. Five rounds of absolute mayhem. I tell you what. Got a bit of time before the football kicks off. I'll watch it again. It was that fucking good. And I'll make some notes so I've got something worthy to say on the podcast tomorrow. So that's what I did. Then I decided to start watching a few bits of the football with my little boy. And we're watching all the... Don't get me wrong, the Arsenal game was a bit shit. There's a few other games that were a bit shit. Then Man United and Tottenham turn up, don't they? And I think to myself, I'll put a bet on, right? I've noticed that Son's playing, so he can score a goal. Spurs are going to win this, and I'm going to say there'll be over three goals in the match. Go on, I'll put a little bet on there. They gave me 10 to 1. I'll put a tenner on, sweet as a nut. We in the first 10 minutes, my bet's paid out, done. Sweet as a nut, job great. What a fantastic 90 minutes that was for me to sit there and watch Man United get the pants pulled down and slapped all over the place. Amazing stuff, especially at the hands of Jose Mourinho. I love shithousery at the best of times, and that is the ultimate shithousery. Then I think, do you know something?
That was brilliant. It was brilliant. And then we watched the boxing.
No. Then what happened, Nicholas? Brilliant. I thought to myself, I'm going to treat myself. It's Sunday. I'm going to get myself a roast on, right? So I get my Sunday roast on. It's beautiful. I've got the wine going. I've got the meats going. Everybody's having a whale of a time. We're eating like kings and queens at Catterall Towers off the back of a fantastic boxing match, off the back of a fantastic thrashing of Manchester United. And we're watching we're eating the old roast, right? And in the background, we've got Liverpool on. That's what we've got. Because I'm thinking to myself, Liverpool playing Villa. Villa aren't that good. They stayed up by the skin of the teeth last year, really. They just signed Ross Barkley and he's average. Leave it at that. I'll just put it on in the background. One, two, three, four, five. I've had to put it down. My sticky toffee pudding's on hold for a second, right? Because, jeez, they were raining in. The first reigning Premier League champions ever to concede seven. Today is a good day, boys and girls. Today is a good day. How are you feeling today, son?
Oh, dear.
It's over. Klopp out. Dog shit. Get rid of him.
At least the title's going to stay on Merseyside. It's just going to cross Stanley Park, that's all.
That's it. That's it. Top of the... Imagine that. A couple of weeks, top of the table clash, and it's Everton that are top.
Yeah, but do you know what's going to happen? Do you know what would be the most Everton thing of all time? The most Everton thing of all time would be for Everton to run away with the league this season, to be miles ahead by like March, April, in the bag, just a couple of handful of games to go. COVID will hit, and this time the Premier League, instead of delaying it, will just cancel the league. That would be the most Everton thing of all time. Have it all sewn up, but no, we'll cancel it. We'll leave it, we'll cancel it. We'll start again in August. Brilliant. But it was it got to the point yesterday where like a couple of mates of mine are Villa fans, Paul and Dan, who's one of my closest pals, and they're like diehard Villa. Dan worked at the Villa for over 10 years. And like, they didn't even text me. They were waiting. And like, I was thinking, come on, there's 10 minutes to go. You're absolutely home and dry. You're allowed to text me some abuse now. Obviously, it did come in, but it got to the point where I was just in bits laughing. And the funny thing was, I'd gone upstairs just before the Liverpool game had started. I'd gone upstairs. I was helping Jane bath the kids. And I was laughing to myself. And she was going, what are you laughing at? And I kept picking up my phone. And I was like, I'm just absolutely battering the Man United fans on Twitter. I'm having a whale of a time. This is brilliant. And she just went, you do know that's going to come back and bite you in the ass. And I was like, we're playing Villa, as if. Oh, no. Oh, dear. As my old nan used to say, you can't say anything nice, don't say it at all.
Do you know what I love, right? And I know that he listens, so I'm not going to say this. I know that Jamie Carragher listens to Fight Disciples, yeah? That was brilliant. I just loved listening to the pain in his voice as he's commentating on this match. Every time there's an attack, he's going, no! I'm thinking, you're supposed to be impartial right now, Jay, right? You're supposed to be just calling the match. He's like going, he needs to come off. He needs to come off. Joe Gomez needs to come off. I'm laughing my bollocks off.
You know what? The only tweet I didn't send, I actually wrote a tweet to say, you fellas are in hiding. And they had Jamie Moore, Crawler, Steve Wood and Dave Caldwell all tagged in. And I was literally going to send press tweets. Where are you fellas hiding, eh? Where are you hiding? And it was only afterwards I thought, I am so glad that I didn't. Don't get me wrong. Caldwell popped up and was like, oh, hey, hey. But yeah, Jesus Christ, a painful day. And to be honest with you, that happened. Obviously, United, capitulation, hilarious. Liverpool, utter capitulation, quite painful. And then we got into the boxing, because obviously I didn't catch the early stuff till later on, but I got into the boxing. You know, we'll come back to, but I'll skip past it for now because I never want to think about it ever again. Chantel Cameron's opponent. But let's go straight to Buatsi then, the main event. And I'm watching that, and I messaged you, didn't I? And was like, this is the worst day of sport ever for if you're a certain fight fan. Buatsi is going to get done here. What the fuck is going on? It was mental. Obviously, he did the one thing United and Liverpool couldn't do, and that's absolutely turned things around. But a strange day for sport indeed.
All right then, let's pick up the boxing, seeing as that you don't really want to talk about getting your pants pulled down and slapped all over the gaff. I'm not talking about Matchroom yet, because that's not the highlight of my weekend. I've just mentioned the highlight of my weekend. Zepeda and Baranchik was by a mile the highlight of the weekend. Yeah. When the fight was made, I was excited about it because I know what those two guys are all about. You know that the geezers that come forward, they throw bombs, they've got heavy hands, and everybody was buzzing for it. And it's kind of gone under the radar a touch because of the depth of that division, where the likes of Josh is at, where Ramirez is at, and various other people. So it's one of those fights that unless you were proper into boxing, you might not have known too much about it. But when it was made, I thought, that's a fucking really good fight, that. Let's hope it lives up to all expectation. Shit, the bed. For those that have not seen it, and if you haven't seen it, what the bloody hell are you listening to this podcast for? Why are you a boxing fan if you've not seen that fight? It is unbelievable. 5 rounds of mayhem, 8 knockdowns, 1 knockout of the year. Just absolutely rock'em sock'em robots from the moment that it kicked off. And it's in there now for a debate of people's favourites ever fights of all time. I sit here all the time saying, Naz Kevin Kelly in New York, that's my favourite fight, just because of the mayhem that took place over a four-round period. Yeah, all right, we're getting an extra round this time, but geez, we got more knockdowns and we got a knockout of the year contender. It was absolutely outrageous. And I'm just so glad that, like, obviously, I watched that lunchtime Sunday, so I didn't stay up and I was on social media straight away. As soon as I watched it, I was on social media straight away saying, where's Baranchikat? Is he all right? Is he out of hospital? Is everything okay with him? Because he was in a mess after that knockout. Absolute mess. And I'm telling you now, he will not be the same dude ever again. He will never be the Ivan Baranchik that you know. He'll be good and he'll be competitive. There's no question about that because of the talent that he's got. But he left something in the ring that night, man. I'm telling you now, a part of his person was stolen with that shot.
Yeah, man. It was just an absolutely incredible fight, and I'll come on to my thoughts on the delayed medical response in a second. But just to recap that fight, two knockdowns for Baranchik in round one.
Yeah.
A knockdown each in round two. Mm-hmm. A triple left hook knockdown from Zepeda in round three. And a knockdown for Baranchik in round four. But then Zepeda gets up off the deck and puts Baranchik down in the dying seconds to make that a knockdown each as well. And then, in the dying seconds. And then again, sorry, I've got that wrong. Fourth round, late knockdown by Zepeda. So Baranchik's winning a round on my scorecard. But a last second knockdown by Zepeda in the fourth means that I scored it 9-9. And then going into the fifth round, Baranchik gets the knockdown. Zepeda gets up off the deck and lands that finishing shot and knockdown each in that round as well. So two rounds had a knockdown each. One round had two knockdowns for Baranchik and the other two rounds had a knockdown each for Zepeda. Absolutely, totally and utterly bonkers and completely and utterly after weeks.
With all due respect, right, what the fuck were you doing scoring it? You'd only needed to watch 30 seconds to know that there's no way that that was lasted. What were you getting the card out for?
Do you know what I was scoring it for? Because I was keeping tally of the knockdowns because there was that many of them. And I posted that on Twitter. I was like 7-10 rounds, 9-8 rounds, 10-9 rounds, 9-9 rounds. And someone come back and was like, are they not using the 10-point score system anymore? I'm like, yeah, they are. They're knockdowns. That's why it looks fucking mental. It was absolutely insane. And don't forget there was a knockdown in there that wasn't scored as well,
and it should have been
another knockdown, but
should have been, yeah, he caught him on the chin.
It was absolutely incredible, and kind of like you, like I woke up, my phone had just blown up, the kids had already come downstairs, it was about 7 o'clock in the morning, 7:30, and my phone had gone mental with people saying, have you seen this. So I literally, before I even took my morning dump, before I even brushed my teeth or even had a cup of tea, I was in bed watching the replay of that fight and was just like, holy. I got downstairs, was like glued to my phone, and I was like, right, where's the iPad? I need to watch that again. I need to watch it again and make a note of all them knockdowns because it's absolutely mental. Absolutely, by a country mile, the fight of the year. And you know what? If you said to me that's your favorite fight of all time, I would not be upset about it. It was unreal. Unreal.
Special, man. Go on, you want to talk about the medical aspect?
Yeah, and I don't want to pour cold water on it. And I want to say from the outset, Zepeda, Baranchik, amazing, absolutely amazing performances. To everyone at Top Rank, Bob Arum and everything, listen, man, you guys have been easy cannon fodder for us over the last few months because the stuff inside the bubble just has not lived up to it. There hasn't been enough 50-50 fights to get us really engaged. But Jesus Christ, old man Bob ran away with the Fight of the Year prize, didn't he, at the weekend? So credit to everyone involved. But what I do want to say is that the manner in which the doctor looked after Baranchik, or lack of looking after Baranchik, should I say, after he got knocked down for that last shot. You know, he got folded on top of his leg. He was out. He was gone. He'd hit the ground enough times earlier on to know that one big clean shot from either of them could potentially finish the fight. So as soon as Baranchik got put down, referee stops the fight. Great. Brilliant. Get in there with oxygen. Get in there. Get
Nevada do this a lot, though, don't they? I don't know what it is about Nevada State Athletic, because if you remember when Amir Khan got chinned off Canelo, they're wafting a fucking towel over him. Kid's out, mate. absolutely Pollock's. Yeah, yeah. I don't know why they do that. I actually thought the demeanour of the doctor was all right. It was the fact that there was no oxygen. I'm thinking, get a fucking mask on him while you're talking to him. Get some air going around his brain.
Now, listen, that doctor and Nevada State Athletic Commission, they may have done an investigation and found that long-term recovery or recovery from a concussion of that nature, the recovery process is better if you allow the person to recover themselves naturally, you know, without assistance. Now, you know, there might be doctors watching this that goes, that's absolute bollocks. There might be people in Nevada who go, that's right. I don't know, unfortunately. I wish I did know a little bit more about the situation. All I seen was a doctor on his knees over Baranchik, basically saying, okay, Ivan, you're right. No, look at me, Ivan. Okay. You okay, Ivan? Do you want to get up? Do you want to? And Baranchik's like, what fucking hell? What? Never mind what day is it? What planet am I on? But it was the fact he never removed his gum shield. Like the British Boxing Board of Control, if that happens in a British ring, the first thing they do is, boom, recovery position, get the doctor in. Boom, if the doctor's in, get his gum shield out, clear his airways, get him to breathe, right? He's still struggling. He's still not, you know, you can see in his eyes, he's still not right. Get the oxygen mask, get the St. John's ambulance in or whatever, get the paramedics in. Get that oxygen mask on his face. Let's start feeding his brain some oxygen. You know, let's deal with it. Leave him where he is in case he's injured. When he starts talking, when he starts being reset, you know, retaining our conversation or, you know, eyesight, then we get the stool, then we get him in. The doctor literally sat next to him and let him 100% recover himself. Mm. And again, they may well be studies in Nevada that have proven, because let's face it, Nevada have more big fights than anywhere else, of course. It's the home of boxing. You'd like to think they know more about this than anybody. But as a British boxing fan who watches a lot more British boxing than anything else, mm-hmm. and has done for 20 years, I'm watching it thinking, put the fucking oxygen mask on his face. Help him. It just didn't seem like they were helping him. It seemed like the way to do it in Nevada is allow the fighter to recover themselves. And as a fan, that just made me go, whoa, fucking hell, this is getting hard to watch. How many times are you going to ask Baranchik, Ivan, do you want to get up on your feet? Do you want to sit up? And Baranchik's still like, fucking goo goo gaga. What day is it? And you're like, whoa. That was the worrying part.
You mentioned before about Chantel Cameron's opponent as well. Do you know the best bit about this fight is, right? And we've said it so many times on this show. If the fight is shit and you're commentating on a shit fight, just say it's shit. I know you've got to flog some it, and I know that there's obviously a vested interest from a business point of view, but come on. Stop trying to sell us something that just is not existing, that is not happening there and then. To tell me that, oh, she's got a bit of an injury. No, she hasn't. She's fucking turned up wearing a Boohoo sports top, mate. That's what she's turned up doing. I've seen her before.
It was a fucking
bra.
Negligee, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mate, I've seen her before. She was much better last time. No shit, Sherlock, because she's fucking awful this time. Jesus.
That was the worst thing about it with from the commentary. Obviously, the top itself. Listen, we just basically celebrated the British Boxing Board of Control and how they set the standard in terms of medicals for me, you know, and how that wouldn't have happened in terms of what happened with Baranchik. But surely the British Boxing Board of Control now need to go away and have a conversation about regulation sports bras. Because as soon as, listen, I didn't want to see nipple, but I seen nipple. When it went between corners, I seen a little bit of brown eye poking out and was like, I'm not here for this. I'm not here to see this Brazilian lady's breasts. I'm here to see a boxing match. I'm here to, what I thought I was going to see was a world title fight.
Yeah.
What I got was probably the easiest fight of Chantel Cameron's career against a Brazilian woman that literally looked like she just rocked in off the street. She was absolutely awful. And then I've got that soft shite on Sky Sports telling me through a microphone, I've been watching this. I've watched a lot of her recent fights and she's a lot better than this. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. Don't talk shit. She's 6-0 as a pro and every single fight has been on some backwater in Brazil. Adam, not you, the other Adam. Absolute fucking bollocks that you've been watching her fight recently. Absolute bollocks. You may have seen it as an amateur, the Olympics, whatever it may be, but you've not been watching her fight on Brazilian cards recently. Shut the fuck up. call it like it is. She was fucking rubbish. And the sports bra top thing from Boohoo, that was lucky to go. Listen, I'm an advocate of 3-minute rounds for women. I champion it every time. Yeah. I'm fucking glad this wasn't 3-minute rounds because that top wouldn't have survived.
Yeah. We've got an even better. I don't know if you saw this as well, because they announced a card coming up in November. I think it's November 14th. And there's three women's world title fights on this card, of which one features Katie Taylor. Great. We know how good Katie Taylor is. Not going to throw any shade her way. You know that Terry Harper's fighting on that. It's a shame that it's not against Tasha Jonas. It should be against Tasha Jonas, but I think this is a mandatory defence. Therefore, it was kind of forced upon her in order to keep a belt.
Should I tell you why it isn't, though? Because Tasha Jonas is not a matchroom fighter. There you go. Simple. Anyway, all right. Third fight.
All right. Okay. So
if she was matchroom, she'd have got the rematch. We all know that. Let's just call a spade a spade. If she was matchroom, she'd have got the rematch.
Fair enough. Anyway. But then you've got a third world title fight on there, and this is fucking funny. This fight is funny, right? Because I'd had a few beers last night, as I've just been telling you. I've been celebrating Liverpool getting twatted. I'd had a good drink, and I was watching the boxing, and I thought, and they announced the fight, and I saw it on social media before I saw them announce it on TV, and I saw Rachel Ball's name on there, right? And I thought, fair fucks, man, fair play, right? Because you've just fought you beat Shannon Courtney. I know your backstory, I know your history, I know that you're not full time doing this to get a shot. Sound. This is your Rocky Balboa moment, mate. Absolutely. And I tweeted and I thought, great stuff. And then I thought, what the fuck am I tweeting that for? So I delete the tweet because my brain then all automatically takes over of thinking about this fight. So if you think about it, it's for a WBA strap. BBA? Yeah, WBA strap, right? So no surprises there. And it's Ebony Bridges, Australian Swing. Girl. You what?
Schwing.
Yeah, Ebony Bridges is taking on Rachel Ball. Now, I don't know how Rachel Ball is ranked number 6 at bantamweight, despite never competing lower than featherweight. She's never competed there, right? I'm just looking at the stats now, and Bridges is ranked at number 7. So it's 6 and 7 fighting for the strap. 6 and 7. And Bridges is ranked at number 7 despite never fighting anybody, literally with a pulse, mate. Literally with a pulse. If you look at her fight, she's had 4 fights. They've all combined, they've lasted 26 minutes. And if you look at the people that she's fought, they've got a combined losing record. I think that between them, they've lost about 30-odd fights. It's to have that sanctioned as a world title fight is absolute bullshit. And it's a shame because over the last 2 months on this show, we've been sat here going, fucking hell, women's boxing's moving, man. It's moving in the right direction. Look at the fights that have been put on. Harper Jonas was an absolute banger. Ball against Shannon Courtney was a great fight. You know what I mean? We've just seen Pursoon and Taylor go at it again. It was a wonderful, wonderful fight, wasn't it? And we're all getting hyped again going, it's going in the right direction. There's a bit of strength and depth here. We might be able to get some really stellar fights going on in the not too distant future. And then you see Chantel Cameron's fight at the weekend. And this is no disrespect on Chantel Cameron. I think she's got bags of personality. She's got bags of talent. And she's going to go on to bigger and better nights. There's no question about that. But she's fighting a fucking tin can for a world title. Let's be straight. Let's call it what it is. She's never going to get an easier shot at a world title. Fair play to her. So she's got that. And then you look at this. This is what's going to happen with this fight, right? This is what's going to happen. Rachel Ball's going to beat Ebony Bridges. She'll beat her. She'll beat her on points. She'll become the new WBA bantamweight champion, even though she's not a bantamweight. What's she going to do? She's going to fight Shannon Courtney in the rematch. And then Shannon Courtney is going to become the champion. That's what's going to happen. And then you've got this massive narrative of, she were on the fags and beer, buddy, two years ago. Look at her now. World champ. Fuck off. That's no disrespect to these girls. They're brilliant. And they're dedicating themselves to it. But you're diminishing the value of the world title. That's what you've done.
Yeah, I think that fight on Saturday night, with Chantel Cameron. And again, congratulations to Chantel Cameron. The work's obviously done. She made it look easy. It was the easiest fight of her pro career, possibly the easiest fight of her life to win a world title. And that, you know, winning a world title should be the pinnacle of anybody's sporting career. It should be
It should be something difficult to do, mate. That's what it should be.
Of course. Absolutely. And unfortunately, you know, you're right, it does take the edge off, you know, the performances, you know, the Terry Harper versus Natasha Jonas moments, the Katie Taylor, Delphine Pursoon moments. It takes the proper edge off fights, those. Yeah. It takes the, yeah, because they're proper matchups, they're proper world title fights. So the Brazilian girl at the weekend, the Brazilian grandmother at the weekend, that fought Chantel Cameron. You know, compare, and Ebony Bridges, like, I follow Ebony Bridges on social media, and she's value for money, man. And she's value for money, and I'm glad she's going to get a fight over in the UK. She knows how to sell herself to the media. She certainly knows how to sell herself to a male demographic.
Nick, just because she's got...
But this is a world title fight. There's a huge difference between being a social media boxer and being an actual world champion boxer.
Correct.
And it does take something away from the sport that we are going to have Ebony Bridges potentially standing alongside Katie Taylor, Terry Harper.
Come on.
In terms of being a fellow world champion.
Come on.
When you know this girl's had, she's had four fights. I don't think she's ever even had an amateur fight. And here she is in a fifth fight, fighting for a world title. You know, listen, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because one way, I congratulate Matchroom and I congratulate Eddie Hearn and his attitude towards women's boxing. Because he's one of the very few promoters that are giving women the spotlight and the exposure that they deserve.
Yep.
However, just to reiterate, there's a big difference between the level Katie Taylor's competing at and the level that this WBO bantamweight title fight WBA. Is going to come at.
Yeah.
And certainly the level that this fight at the weekend that we saw with Chantel Cameron, amazing for her. But even Chantel Cameron, she must have thought, what the fuck is this? Can you know that Brazilian though, as an amateur, and I don't know how long ago this was, as an amateur, she's 1-1 with Natasha Jonas. They've got to win against each other each. I don't know. Listen, I'd like a passport investigation. That can't be the same woman that has got to win over Natasha Jonas. It just can't. Or if it was, it must have been 10 years ago when Tasha was a teenager and she was still only 38.
Unbelievable.
Anyway.
Do you want to talk Buatsi? Let's talk Buatsi, man. Because
yes, man.
Listen, I'm delighted that he got this type of fight because I'm sick of fighters that have got bags of potential that have been elite amateurs. The guy's got an Olympic bronze medal for crying out loud, right? Don't want him fighting tin cans. I want someone with a bit of ambition to have a bit of a knock with him and throw something back his way. And Chalich most certainly did that. This is a guy that has been competing at higher weight categories. He's come down. He's had a bit of a go with Josh. And Josh got asked a lot of questions. I think he showed that he's got a massive set of stones because he's definitely done orbital damage there in the third round or whatever it was. And he came through it and ended up getting the job done. And the thing that he showed once again is that once he's got you on the hook, he don't let you off, man. He's a vicious fucker. And I love that. Love that about him. One thing that I wanted to just bring up, again, going back to the Sky commentary. At the end, I don't know if you saw this. You might have switched off and gone to bed. But I carried on watching it because they were interviewing Johnny Nelson about the fight. And Johnny's there, right? And he's saying, yeah, light heavyweight's good, great division. We've got all these wonderful talents. And we do. We've said it on many occasions. Light heavyweight is a very, very interesting division, isn't it? On a world level. But on a British level, you've got lads there that they should have a bit of a round-robin tournament. We've got potential some great fights. Buatsi, Yard. And then he brought up Callum Johnson's name, right? And he used Callum Johnson as the third person in that mix, saying that Callum Johnson doesn't really want to fight Buatsi. Callum Johnson isn't the guy really to be competing with these guys. I'm thinking to myself, are you being fucking serious, mate? For me, I mean, I might be totally missing the point of this, right? But for me, right, if they fought right now, and I'm not talking about a year or 2 years down the line, if they fight right now, Callum Johnson beats both Buatsi and he beats Anthony Yard. For me. In a year, might be different because they're developing and they're growing. In 2 years, it most certainly will be different. But right now, Callum Johnson's the best of the three. So to say that he doesn't want those fights, he's mad.
Yeah, I just think it's utter nonsense, to be honest with you. Utter nonsense, because I think only any of those three guys would fight each other. I think the issue you've got is that everybody in their ears, certainly to Buatsi and Anthony Yard, everybody in their ears is saying, this is a fight that will be happen, but let's do it when there's a world title on the line. Let's do it down the line money on the table. I think both Buatsi and Yard have bought into that. I think both Buatsi and Yard, if you rang them tomorrow and said, boom, fight there on the table. Career best payday. And we're going to do it in February at the O2 Arena. You and Buatsi, world title eliminator, or you and Yard, world title eliminator. I guarantee both teams would say no. I guarantee both teams would say, no, no, no. Let's get me someone else. Get me the world title and we'll do it at the back end of the year. We'll do it in 18 months' time. We'll do it then. I guarantee both of them would say no to a fight against each other. Now, same conversation. O2, capacity crowd, career best payday. Phone call to Callum Johnson. Do you want to fight Buatsi? Do you want to fight Anthony Yard? I guarantee Callum Johnson says yes to both. I guarantee it. That's the difference. That is the difference. Callum Johnson would fight either of those guys tomorrow in a final world title eliminator. I guarantee it. Those two would not fight each other. And you know what? I think both of them would even hesitate to fight Callum Johnson. So your statements, while most people might think it's outlandish, I think it carries some salt. Johnson is the guy that neither of them want to fight. But unfortunately, neither Buatsi or Yard need Callum Johnson.
Correct.
But unfortunately, for some reason, maybe it's because his last two fights have been in America, but Callum Johnson needs a Buatsi or a Yard.
Yeah. Mate, this purely comes down to what we were talking about before for me with Ebony Bridges. This is about bigger things than boxing. Because if this is purely about boxing, Callum Johnson would be being pushed and being pushed into the biggest of fights right now in the light heavyweight division. There's no doubt about that. But maybe they look at him and go, he's not a gobshite. He's not rocking the microphone. He isn't that guy outside the ring. We've met him. He's the most pleasant, down-to-earth, normal dude that you could ever meet. He's just an absolute beast once you get inside the ring. He's a great technical boxer and he's got serious power in his hands. But because he's less marketable, I suppose, than the other two that we're talking about, he ain't getting pushed. He ain't getting pushed. And he should be getting pushed because, as I've just said, I think he beats both of those right now. Again, I want to keep reiterating this because we need a timestamp it, because you know what people are like, mate. They'll listen to our show, they'll rip it, and then they'll bring it back to me in about 18 months' time once Buatsi's beaten Callum Johnson. They go, you said he beat him. Yeah, that was fucking 18 months ago. Now he's fucking, what, 35, 36 years of age, and Buatsi's just matured. You know what I mean? Totally different conversation in 18 months' time. But right now, I genuinely believe he beats him. And he should be being talked about getting in with the likes of Beterbiev again and Bivol again and people like that. He's the... I know that Yard fought Kovalev and he put in a... He did himself proud, right?
He did well.
But let's be honest.
He did well.
He got beat every single round bar one round. That's what happened in that fight. That's the truth of the Yard fight. He had him going in the eighth and one clean shot, he takes him out. I'll give that. But he lost the first seven rounds. Whereas in the Beterbiev-Johnson fight, yeah, it's a lot shorter. But he's got him going, mate. It's a shootout. He's just absolutely... Again, it's a similar conversation. So for me, Johnson's further down the line than the other two. And he should be being talked about of getting in with Bivol, of getting in with Beterbiev, of getting in with those guys. You know what I mean? In order to... I mean, you've got Dominic Bosel fighting this weekend, haven't you, against Krasniqi, for which is like an interim WBA light heavyweight title, which is a lot of bollocks in itself. But someone like Callum Johnson should be being lined up for him next. Right, okay, then I'll fight him for interim title and then I'll go and get Bivol. That's what should happen.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. And it is unusual that he seems to be the odd man out in this conversation.
It's marketing, mate. It's bigger than boxing. It's marketing.
Yeah, but it's a London thing. I get it. And they can push that towards a big fight. But I truly believe, we talked about it previously, Buatsi Yard has the potential to be a Ben Eubank.
Yes.
Has the potential to be multiple fights, multiple world title belts, maybe even different weight divisions, you know, whatever it may be. They seem destined to have this round-robin tournament. But you know what? Steve Collins came out of nowhere and wiped the floor with both of them. And Callum Johnson could be the exact same guy. This guy that just comes in from stage left and wipes the floor with them both. And I tell you what, if I was Callum Johnson this morning, I'd be all over social media. I'd be everywhere calling for a fight with either or both those guys. Because they're the guys who are generating headlines. They've clearly got no ambition in the immediate future to fight one another. So use them as a stepping stone, man. Get in there. Claim that for yourself.
Yeah.
Callum Johnson wipes out Yard or wipes out Buatsi. Guess what? Buatsi Yard's gone now.
Yeah.
Now the other guy has got to fight Callum Johnson to move forward.
Yeah, man. That's listen, I know I went off on a Callum Johnson rant there. It was just off the back of what Johnny said on the TV. But Watsi, though, listen, he's open, man. And he's hittable, as he proved.
I needed that.
Yeah.
I needed to see that, though.
Yeah, you're right.
That was Boati on his worst night. For me, that was Boati on his worst night. Don't get me wrong. Listen, we've had a go of people in the past for bad matchmaking. Fucking hell, we had a go at this, the co-main event here for bad matchmaking. The Brazilian was a show. But Kalic was a great match,
yeah,
a great opponent. And I think anyone that knows anything about boxing knows that Kalic was a top amateur. And even though his pro career has been a little bit here, there and everywhere, you know, he's built that 11-0 record that he had going into this fight in literally the far-flung corners of Europe on cards that nobody cares about against opponents that no one cares about. But that doesn't mean, just because he hasn't got a big promoter behind him or a TV network, that doesn't mean he's a bad fighter. So we knew it was a big, risky fight for Boati. And for me, this play, if I'm a Boati fan, I'll make that clear. I am a Boati fan. I wanted to see this.
Yeah.
I wanted to see him get outboxed, get outpunched, get hit. I wanted to see him respond from it because it'll do him better down the line to be have this gut check moment.
Yeah.
And the fact that he bounced back and got the finish in the seventh, especially when I predicted a finish in the seventh and a points win, landslide points win for Chantel Cameron. Give me something to smile about yesterday, put it that way.
But the beautiful thing is, in his post-fight interview as well, he said, listen, yeah, I don't know what's up with my eye. I couldn't see out of it. And it was one of them where I thought, whoa, I've not had this before. Deal with it. And you're thinking, yeah, man, that's exactly what you need to be doing at this stage of your career, because you don't want to be doing that against an elite level operator at the top end who would have taken you out at that given moment. This is about learning. Of course it is. What was that? His 13th fight? Fair play.
Yep.
He had that gut check. He's come through it. Fingers crossed everything's okay with the eye, and we'll get to see him again at some point later on this year. What do you make of Alan Babich? It's going to be fun while it lasts, this, isn't it? It's going to be fun while it lasts. We're all having a laugh. We're all having a bit of fun. But if he gets in with somebody that knows what they're doing, he's getting wiped out, mate.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We said that last time out. He just reminds me of a pisshead standing outside Yates's, to be honest with you. He fights like a doorman, doesn't he? He just comes out swinging. I'm sorry, that's all Alan Babich is. I don't get it. I honestly don't get why there's so much behind him, but he's a prime. He's prime for someone to just absolutely wipe him out. It will happen. It's coming.
Yeah, of course it will. Listen, but going back to matchmaking, it'll be matched well for at least 12 months. The hype train will be going. It'll be going up. And then someone like Dave Allen will wipe him out. That's what'll happen. Let's touch upon the midweek, shall we? MTK Golden Contract. Because O'Hara Davis is the geezer that picked up the MTK Golden Contract. The fight was awful. Let's just be straight. The fight with Tyron McKenna was absolute dog mess. If you've not watched it, don't bother. Yeah. Don't bother going back. It was a majority decision in favour of O'Hara. Two judges gave him 6-4. And there was a 95 apiece in there as well, wasn't there, as a draw. But he comes out of it, he gets himself a contract, and he moves forward. Now, in the aftermath of this, I had a chat with him. I did a piece for the radio with him, and I've interviewed him before. And I've always enjoyed a conversation with O'Hara, because when you get away from all the bullshit and when you're not trying to set him up and you're just having a conversation, he's actually an all right lad. However, since my first ever conversation with him, he's gone out there and he said some mad shit. Obviously, he's offended the whole of Liverpool with the things that he said. He talked, when he was talking about the Tommy Coyle fight, about doing things with the Sun newspaper. He's talked about... obviously, he's had altercations with Fowler, hasn't he? He's had altercations with every fucking fighter under the sun. I think he had a little bit of a scrap with Florian Marcoux behind closed door. All these random shit. All this random stuff. So he's not helped himself to that point of becoming and adhering himself to the fans, has he? However,
no.
To talk to him on Friday, I think it was, and him to be so open and honest about quitting against Josh Taylor, I thought, fucking hell, fair play, lad. Like, I watched the fight back, I quit. End of. First time I've watched it back. And then he goes, and then I asked him, did you regret some of the shit that you said? And he goes, yeah, to the extent where it was daft stuff and I should never have said it, but by saying it, I've kind of learned not to make those mistakes. And obviously I've grown as a human being, and I'm thinking, all right, there's some maturity coming through here with some of the things that you're saying, which was incredibly refreshing. And then he went on to say, listen, since being with MTK, they've looked after me. They've not encouraged me to be a dickhead. They've just said, just be yourself, chill out. Just be yourself, go and concentrate on your fighting and fight. Whereas he alluded to the fact that previous management, and this is not Eddie and his promoter, he's talking about previous management, who had kind of encouraged him to be a knobhead and say stuff and chase and say mad stuff on social media, of which him being a young lad went, well, all right then, yeah, I need to make a fight, I need to get my career going, I'm going to trust these people and get it going. So therefore, he's kind of been at the brunt of bad management. Whereas now, as I've said, and there'll be people listening to this going, what are you talking about, Adam? He's a knobhead. And that's fair enough. He might already be tarred with you with all the things that he's done in the past. But I'm just saying there's a chink of light there with O'Hara Davis, where the penny seems to have dropped a bit with him and he seems to be maturing. I still don't think he's the most amazing fighter right now. We saw that on Wednesday night. You know, he's very flat-footed, isn't he? His footwork's not the greatest. He does carry a punch. He's got sensational power in his hands, but he's got to land it. And we saw at the weekend, if you've got any type of footwork like Tyrone McKenna has, you can get out of the way of it. But I think everybody deserves a second chance. And he seems to have learnt from being a bit of a knobhead in the past.
Yeah. Whatevs. Man, he's a grown man. You know, he at the end of the day, he said what he said, and he's going to have to live with it for the rest of his life. And for me, that's going to always hamper his career. And, you know, performance like that. And it takes two to tango. But I thought Tyron McKenna trying to do a roadrunner and try and pick the fight off, and O'Hara Davis having two left feet. It was a disappointing, because we were all looking forward to Wednesday so much. And then, you know, we had the initial disappointment of the whole of Jazza Dickens' team testing positive for COVID. You know, and listen, I know people that train at Derry's gym, and they said, listen, Derry had locked down the gym. It wasn't like there was all kinds of people in there, keep fitters and that, because Liverpool is riddled with COVID at the moment. But apparently Derry was, you know, he was dealing to all, keeping the gym locked down, sanitizer everywhere. So they were trying. You know, it's not like they just had anyone in there. But when that fight fell off, I was disappointed, obviously, because that was the one I was really looking forward to.
Yeah, that was the better fight. That was the better fight.
Yeah, like, but then you thought the momentum, so much spite, so much talk. You know, McKenna putting up those amazing videos, O'Hara Davis, you know, in the past. Listen, at the end of the day, love him or loathe him, whatever he said, you know, sticks and stones, all that kind of stuff. If O'Hara Davis, for me, built himself up to be a heel, you know, he can't now
badly,
try
though.
And be...
He did it badly, though.
Yeah, he did it. Oh, he did it horrifically. But at the end of the day, he's played his role as a heel. He'll forever be a heel. And I just thought this fight, at some stage, would come to light. I thought Tyron McKenna wouldn't run forever. But at some stage, he would dig his toes in and start swinging. And it just didn't happen. And I don't know whether that's because the information to the corner, McKenna's team obviously thought they pinched it. But to be honest, it got to the end. And I'm not disputing the results. In fact, I thought O'Hara won it by a round or two.
Same.
But it got to the end, and I just thought, got about seven rounds in, I just thought, fucking stop it now. It was absolutely rubbish. It just, sometimes stars make fights, and we were absolutely treated at the weekend to Zepeda versus Baranchik, where stars made fights and we got something very, very special. But unfortunately, Tyron McKenna, O'Hara Davis should never, ever mention each other's names ever, ever again.
Yeah.
Not even in conversation.
Listen,
because that was one of the worst fights I've seen in a long time.
The best result was that it wasn't a draw, because they would have had to go at it again. That was the best result for everybody.
God, yeah.
Right, bit of fight news, because I mentioned earlier, Katie Taylor, Miriam Gutierrez on November the 14th. I mentioned that Terry Harper's on there as well, and we've already talked about the girl fight that shouldn't necessarily be a world title fight. This is one that I wanted to bring up with you, because there's been loads over social media about Josh Kelly, Devin Evanesian. Is it on? Is it off? Is it on? Is it off? Blah, 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 blah. Last night, Josh Kelly goes, right, just spoken to Eddie. It's happening. I wouldn't like to be Josh Kelly for this fight, mate. I just wouldn't like to be him. He's pissed Avanesian off. How many camps has Avanesian done for this fight? He must have done about two or three.
Yeah.
And he's no fucking joke, mate. He's no joke.
You better believe this fight is happening for one reason and one reason only, and that's because Avanesyan's team have made this happen. They've forced this. Mm. They've willed this fight into happening. And, you know, even up until yesterday, like Neil Marsh had posted, and he copied me and he copied a bunch of other boxing journalists in and was like, so it's definitely not happening then. No, we're not hearing anything. And this has gone on for a couple of weeks now.
Where it's been going on for longer than that. Like, it's been going on for a year, hasn't it? It's been going on
probably
forever.
A year, yeah. Well, ever since the spectacular media day performance from Neil Marsh, remember?
Oh,
it's been going on since then. And listen, they've got ultimately what they wanted. They wanted everyone to jump on the bandwagon to go, well, why isn't this fight happening? Come on, it's been made multiple times. Why is it not happening? And I think they pushed Josh Kelly's buttons. They put him in a position where he feels like, because it's got to the point now that not only are we asking why isn't the fight happening or people impartial, you better believe friends and family of Josh Kelly would have been going, what, so you're not doing that fight now? And man's got pride. Kid's an undefeated boxer, a sensational talent. And he's probably thought, nah, man, I can't move forward until I get this thing done. And he's probably rang Eddie, and whether Eddie wants it or not, and listen, I don't know whether Eddie does want it or he doesn't want it, but I think Josh Kelly has gone, you've got to make this fight. We are definitely doing this fight next. And unfortunately, just looking at form, looking at style, looking at the way, Josh Kelly's not there yet. We know he's got potential.
Yeah.
But there is something seriously missing. It has not clicked. We've seen 10 fights so far, 10 wins. But let's be honest, he was lucky once or twice, and it just hasn't clicked yet. When it clicks, Josh Kelly could be a world champion. But we have not seen it click. And until it does, question marks will remain. And until it does, taking on fights like former world champions like David Avanesyan are risky as fuck, man. Risky as fuck.
Especially when you pissed him off.
Mate. I just hope all those friends and family that said that to Josh are aware of the risks of this fight involved. Yeah. Because you've backed your guy into a corner and you're making him take a fight that, let's be honest, he shouldn't be taking at this stage in his career. He just shouldn't.
Yeah, I agree, man. I agree. There's rumours that Josh Warrington and Kanzu is going to happen because they're going to upgrade Kanzu to super champion or whatever it may be, and therefore it'll become a unification. I think the Ring magazine will be in there as well, which is great. We could do with Josh getting out there doing his thing. They're going to announce this week AJ Pulev's going to happen on December the 12th. That'll be announced this week at some point, which is good. Behind closed doors, regardless of fans, any of that nonsense, forget it. The fight is definitely happening.
Good.
So again, fingers crossed. Big thumbs up for that. Gervonta Davis, Leo Santa Cruz is interesting because that's been moved from the 24th of October to the 31st of October to Texas because Texas are allowing fans into the stadium. So again, there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel with fights there. 31st of October, by the way, Usyk Chisora, and then in the middle of the night you got Gervonta Davis and Leo Santa Cruz. Tidy, man.
Halloween, man.
Yeah, nice. Deontay Wilder split with Mark Brelan. Mark Brelan is the geezer that chucked the towel in for him. If it's based on that, if it's based on him chucking in the towel, it's a fucking bad decision. It's a bad, bad decision. Terrible. Because Brelan has saved, what, a few years of Deontay Wilder's career. In fact, he saved his career. He's managed to get himself the third fight, really, because it was only going one way. Tyson Fury was going to end that badly. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I think
100% agree. Mark Breland is responsible for there being a third fight. Because if Mark Breland doesn't throw in the towel, if Mark Breland doesn't allow the conversation of, oh, I was hindered because of me 500-pound suit, I'd have caught him in the next round, or that narrative goes when Tyson Fury flatlines Deontay Wilder and he doesn't get back up again. And we were there, we were ringside, we could smell it, you could taste it, it was coming. Tyson Fury was like was peak Tyson Fury, and he proved his levels to this game, absolute levels. A big puncher's got no chance against a supreme boxer. Mm-hmm. This is not box. This is the sport's not called punching; it's called boxing. And Tyson Fury boxed his socks off and was on the verge of getting a spectacular finish that would have left us without a narrative to sell a third fight. So Mark Brelan should be applauded by Team Wilder.
Should be on a pay rise.
Because without him, there is no third fight. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Now, let me tell you about the other person in the corner, that if you're going to make changes, Jay Diaz is number one corner. Let me take you back to weigh-in day in Vegas. We were doing radio. You threw to me. I'm doing a run around doing interviews. I grabs an interview with Jay Diaz. This is the weigh-in day, day before the fight. And I said to Jay Diaz, been with Tyson all week, and he told me he's going to fight fire with fire, and Deontay's getting knocked out. And Jay Diaz's response, and he wasn't lying, he was hand on heart, clear as day, he said to me, I wish everybody believed everything I said. What utter nonsense. We all know he won't go toe-to-toe with Wilder. We all know he can't knock Deontay out. It's never going to happen. I wish everyone believed the shit if I talk shit. That was his response. Now, for me, that means the head coach of Deontay Wilder in the biggest fight of his life, the heavyweight championship of the world, they did not have a plan B. They did not even for a second consider that Tyson Fury would do what it said he was going to do and that stand and go toe-to-toe with Wilder, because no one had ever done it before. Mm-hmm. The head coach didn't even consider it, didn't even think it possible. In his mind, it was impossible that his fighter would get knocked out by Tyson Fury. That is not the job of a head coach. Convince your fighter of that, yeah. Make him believe that, yeah. But in your locker, you've got to have worst-case scenario. We walk into one first minute. What do we do? How do we outbox him? How do we box? How do we injured, mind scrambled? We picked ourselves up off the floor. How do we get through rounds against Tyson Fury? That is your job as head coach of the heavyweight champion. Not to go as if Tyson Fury will punch him. If there needs to be questions asked in Deontay Wilder's corner team, it's not fucking Brelan that needs to be asked the questions. It's the head coach that wouldn't even consider him getting caught early.
Hmm. They're looking at dates in and around the start of December. But speaking to Frank last week, he says that it's not going to happen this year. So we'll keep you up to date with everything that's going on with part three of that. I saw that your lad's taking an easy knock at lightweight, ain't he? Yeah? Deciding to fight 38-year-old fighters coming off the back of Achilles, blooming tendon. Surgery and all that type of stuff. What's that all about? Gamboa. Come on, mate. I thought your boy was elite. You've got Teofimo and Lopez and Lomachenko going at it, yeah? And your lad's fighting fucking geezers out of the graveyard. What's he doing?
It's not impressive, is it? Let's be honest.
It's not dog shit, mate, is what it is. Come on.
Yeah.
In fact, there were a few fights made last week that like raised my eyebrow. Daniel Jacobs is better than fighting Gabe Rosado. Miles, but I know that we're living in crazy times and it's tough to get competitive fights with all the things that's going on with this pandemic. But Devin Haney and Gamboa and then Jacobs and Rosado, I ain't staying up for that. Who's staying up for that? Come on. You know what's going to happen in the fight. You know he's won it. You know he's winning the fights.
Yeah, we've seen Gabe Rosado up close and personal, didn't he, when we fought Martin Murray? And, you know, he's just not world class. He's just not on that level. Very poor opponent. And likewise, Gamboa as well. You know, Gamboa going straight into a, you know, world title fight. What is he now? 39 years of age?
Yeah.
He'll be 39 by the time the fight happens. I'm sure he's 39 next month. So, you know, I don't know how anyone coming off a loss for a world title qualifies to go straight in for a world title.
It's not a world title, though, is he? He's not really a world champion, though, is he? He's not really. Not really.
Well, he'll tell you he is.
You've just mentioned Martin Murray's name there, right? And I just wanted to bring something up because I put something out on social media this week. Reacting to Eddie Hearn talking about the next opponents for Billy Joe Saunders. And he put four names up there, didn't he? Martin Murray's name was in there. Rocky Fielding's name was in there. John Ryder's name. And I think he said Dmitry Chudinov. I hope he meant Fedor Chudinov. But Dmitry Chudinov is what he said. Those four opinions. That's what we're working on. And hopefully we can get Billy out at this point. Now, I listen to that and I go, for fuck's sake. You've got Callum Smith sat there, mate. Speak to Callum Smith. Make that fight. If you're not going to be fighting Canelo, get that fight on. Unify this division. Two of you desperate to have a knock. That's the fight that every single fan wants to see. I look down the list of opponents there and I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. And this is no disrespect to those guys, but Billy Joe Saunders should not be fighting any one of those four. He just shouldn't. But what I will say is this. Any one of those four is Billy Joe Saunders' toughest fight for 3 years. That's sad. Yeah. That is sad, mate. Yeah. Lemieux was nearly 3 years ago. And Martin Murray is better than anything. Even a partly retired Martin Murray, of which he is better than anything that Billy Joe Saunders has fought in the last 3 years. And that is the sad indictment of where Billy's career is at right now.
Yeah, it really is. And I was at Martin's last fight as well, and it was the first time he'd had his kids in attendance at a fight, and it felt like he was saying goodbye to boxing, you know. He was main eventing a club level show, a non-TV show in Liverpool. It was packed to the rafters with St. Helens fans. All his family were there. As I say, his kids were there at ringside, walked him to the ring and everything. You know, it felt like his sign-off moment. But of course, when that world title fight rears its head, of course you're going to jump at it. Of course you're going to have one last one. So you're going to have one last go at it. But you're right. You know, why are we even having this conversation in terms of Billy Joe Saunders when Callum Smith is sitting there? Now, we know Callum Smith is still waiting for the phone to ring with Canelo, but how long can he wait? I feel like he's been waiting for that phone to ring for 18 months, 2 years. At least Billy Joe has kind of gone, fuck it, I'm not fighting him. Get me someone else. At least it appears that Billy Joe has gone, get someone else. Now, I think it'll be John Ryder. You know, I think Martin Murray, at least John Ryder, he can sell it on the back of the Callum Smith fight was super close. Mm-hmm. Depending on which side of the fence you are, it went either way. Martin Murray, don't get me wrong. I think Martin Murray, I think he beat Hassan and Dam in Manchester, and that was his only loss since losing to George Groves. I think he's 6-1 since he lost to George Groves in 2016. And in Dam fight, I thought he won it. But it's not like he doesn't stack up. But we're talking about a time right now where we need to be putting on the big fights. Callum Smith, Billy Joe Saunders is a perfect way to end the year. It's a shootout for Canelo. It's a unification fight. It's a top spot fight. Why are we even having this conversation? Why are we even talking about it? Why is Rocky Fielding's name in the ring? Fucking guy lives in Dubai, clearly. Every time I look on his social media, and he's sunning himself in Dubai. I don't think he's been back to Liverpool since he lost to Canelo. I think he's been on the sauce since. Like, why is he even in the conversation? Absolutely mental. Unless it's great that, obviously, I'd love to see Murray or John Ryder or, you know, I'd love to see domestic fighters get opportunities, but not for the sake of boxing, not for the sake of people going, I'm fucking watching that.
Yeah.
Fight Callum Smith. Fuck's sake, come on.
At least we're getting Dubois Joyce.
Yes. And again, and we banged the drum on here more than anybody. We were saying, Frank, you can't keep pushing this back. Mate. You've got to get it done. With no fans, just get it done. And obviously, they've either made the numbers work or, Frank, they're prepared to take a loss on it. But you better believe Eddie's taking a loss on some of these fights. He's going to take a loss on AJ versus Pulev. Of course he is. Unless that is both Frank and Eddie were listening when I said, charge us £50 for the pay-per-view, in which case I apologise to everybody. Mm. That might be the only way we get the big fights.
I've got some news on this, right? And do you know something? I'm probably going to get my fucking pants pulled down and slapped. No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it.
It is expensive pay-per-view, isn't it?
No.
It's an expensive pay-per-view.
I think people might be pleasantly surprised with one of those fights. That's all.
If they did, listen, if they do one of them for free, boom.
Well, not for free. It's part of your subscription. You've still got to have a subscription to either Sky or BT, haven't you?
But what I mean is, if either AJ Pulev or Triple D versus Joyce is on free-to-air Sky or free-to-air BT, then that is absolutely sensational. That is brilliant. That's what we want to see. That's what we want to see. And I tell you what, if that same network manages to pick up versus Lomachenko, then fucking hell, you are the team. You are the team.
People are listening, man. They listen. It's becoming a bit too coincidental that off the back of, like, we bang a drum, 2 weeks later something happens, right? And that might just sound like we're being cocky or what have you, but it is getting a bit coincidental, BT Sport and Sky Sports, all right? It's getting a bit coincidental. Listen, you know I'm gripe with the Sky Sports commentary, just in case you're listening. Chris Lloyd, Darren Barker, that's who we want on a permanent basis, all right? if you can keep that happening, we're happy. Keep that coming our way. This weekend, Liam Williams is in action. listen, I know it's a mandatory defence of his British title. It's a win, right? I expect nothing better than him to look amazing this weekend. I want him on the microphone. I want him rocking that microphone. I want him going, Andrade, what the fuck's going on, son? Never mind talking yep. about all this bullshit with Charlo's and all this type of stuff. It's me and you, lad. The WBA are going to mandate, WBO are going to mandate him as a challenger. Fingers crossed they can come to some agreement. And before the end of the year, I want to see Liam Williams, Demetrius Andrade, for that middleweight WBO strap. Andrade's a supremely talented guy. There's no question about that. But Liam Williams, without any shadow of a doubt, is the toughest opponent that he will have faced. Williams will throw the kitchen sink at it. Am I saying he'll win? I don't know. I don't know where he's at, level-wise. We're going to find out in a fight against Andrade. That is the fight that I want to see.
Yeah, 100%. It is a bit of a tread and water fight, and I feel for Liam Williams because he deserves it, you know, after getting that big knockout performance last time out against that 7-foot Fox fella.
Yeah.
He deserves to get his world title fight, and, you know, it's disappointing that he is having
Fox,
to tread
Fox
water,
had Andrade on his backside, didn't he? I mean, exactly. Atlantis Fox, they fought each other, and Fox had Andrade down.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe that's why young Boo Boo's on the run, but... But absolutely, that fight's got to come soon. And, you know, unfortunately, if you're Andrew Robinson this weekend...
Get out of the way.
I wouldn't trade places with him with all the money in China, because William Williams has proven, since he moved up to middleweight, he's proven that he's a force to be reckoned with, man. Because he's suddenly become this absolute knockout merchant as well.
Of all the fights on that card that you're looking at, obviously, we're always interested in Dennis McCann. Don't give a shit who he's fighting. I'm just well interested in watching him do his thing. But the fight that I'm really interested in is Gorman Laté. I'm looking at that. Obviously, it's heavyweight, so you're always kind of in there anyway. But they've got that common opponent in Daniel Dubois. How does Gorman react off the back of a defeat to Dubois? Laté, you know, is going to come and fight. Let's see where Gorman's at. I think that could be a really cracking fight.
Yeah, man, absolutely. You never know what you know how people react from a defeat, and both these guys are coming in, as you say, fresh from defeats off Dubois. This is make or break time for Gorman. Pressure's on him now. If he doesn't get a win here, then Jesus Christ, you know, all his expectations and aspirations come absolutely crumbling back down. So he needs a big performance. I've heard he's been looking sharp in sparring, so hopefully he does the business. I'm really looking forward to the Commonwealth Super Welterweight fight as well with my boy JJ Metcalf taking on Jack Flatley. I think Jack Flatley is a real good opponent, an absolute dynamo, always game. I think he lacks a little bit of power, and I think JJ will get to him because he punches harder than most, as I know from being up close and personal with him, sparring with him years ago when he was a kid. But I feel for JJ Metcalf because, you know, the big fights, the big opportunities haven't quite come for him like they think they should have done. And, you know, he's 21-0 now and he's still only Commonwealth champion. And I feel like the big fights out there for him need to start happening for him soon. Unfortunately, a lot of this weight division is over on Matchroom. So it is difficult for him to get these opportunities. But hopefully... You know, I'd love to see a fight with Anthony Fowler or a Ted Cheeseman or these type of guys. I think Fowler versus Metcalf would be massive for Liverpool if they can make it happen. It would absolutely put bums on seats. JJ, of course, the son of Shane Neary. It absolutely makes sense to me. So I think a big performance here, he can really draw a line in the sand and start calling out some big opponents. If not, it's time to move on internationally because, as I say, win this weekend, JJ Metcalf goes to 22-0. He needs to move his career forward, man. I feel like he's wasting his best years.
Do you know what we're doing next week?
Go on.
Well, next week's show. What do you think next week's show will be? Obviously, we'll be talking about the weekend's boxing, but what will we be talking about mainly?
We're in lockdown. Quarantine.
No, you're talking about clearing off to Fight Island. Next week, it is fight week for Lopez Lomachenko, mate.
Oh,
we are here. We're literally here. So our next show is previewing the biggest fight of the year. That's what it is.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Got that.
I can't wait. Imagine if we get a Zepeda Baranchik repeat. Oh, man, I literally cannot wait. It's 1-0 to me already. I'm confident of going 2-0 up.
Where's your 1-0 come from? Which one?
Jordan Gill.
Oh,
Jordan Gill.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
If I win this one, what do you mean? If hang on a minute, you can't claim Lomachenko. You can't. That's ridiculous.
I claimed Lomachenko in 2008. Mate, he's been my guy for 12 years.
That's ridiculous. If this was Lopez and Haney, then that is legit. Because that's what you picked. You can't go, yeah, I'm having Lomachenko. Fuck off.
Oh, man, next week's going to be exciting. Next week is... We're just going to have to do 5 minutes on Liam Williams next week, and then we'll do a whole show focusing on Lomachenko versus Lopez, because that is so exciting. And just before we sign off then, let's just do one last appeal. We know you're listening, Sky. We know you're listening, BT. Apologies, Adam, over at Sky, that we savaged you early on. Put your hands in your pockets, one of yous. Get Lomachenko versus Lopez. Show the UK boxing fraternity that you are the true home of boxing by getting the biggest fight of the year on your network. Please.
Yeah.
Please, please, please. Don't make us go after some stream on Fight TV. Please.
And don't put it on pay-per-view. Just put it on. Just put it on. Treat us. Give us a little tickle. Yeah, man. That's all you want. I promise to watch it twice if it helps with it with the viewing figures. I promise. Maybe even three times if it's really, really good.
Oh, man.
What a fight. Woo! So that's next week. And I've no doubt there's a lot of people listening to this extremely excited about that. So we'll get stuck in to that for you on next week's show. Thank you very much for listening to us. Subscribe via iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for. Fightdisciples.com is our website. Everything's on there. I think you're going to need some beer for that fight, aren't you? You're going to need some proper tackle for a Lomachenko Lopez, because yes. Nick, tell him it's the only beer that goes the distance.
Brewed, designed, scientifically matured oats and yeast. To create a beer that scientifically goes the distance. It's the only beer you can drink all night, not wake up with a hangover, be ready for the championship rounds, proper tackle, support the boys, get out there. Listen, a lot like all the other podcasts that you listen to, they've all got these Patreon pages where they let you listen to a little bit, but they make you pay for the rest. Mate, we don't charge you for fuck all. We give you the gold for free every week, 4.5 years. The least you can do is go and buy some of the lads' ale. Fightdisciples.com. Hit the link. Get yourself an order. Get a 24-pack. Come on. Support the lads. Proper tackle.
There you go. That's a sales pitch if ever I've heard one. It's all available on our website, fightdisciples.com. Get yourself on there. Get yourself subscribed. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.